Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Jerry Schimmel sitting in for Mike Evans this morning. I'll do that the rest of the week with Mark Schlereth. So you got a couple of German guys sitting in the studio here, Schlereth and Schimmel. And as Clint Hurdle said, just go by Mark and Jerry.
Yeah, Mark and Jerry is much easier.
That'd be a lot easier. All right. Hey, let's talk about Von Miller. He has talked about a lot on this radio station, as he should be. He's 31 years old, and this seems like, anyway, to me, such a crucial year for him. Let's hope, first of all, that we play NFL football, and we play 16 games. It might be reduced. Who knows what that's going to look like. Let's assume for the moment a 16-game schedule is going to happen at some point in the NFL. And Von Miller, at 31 years of age, looks like he might be on the downside of his career. Now, I used to hear and read a lot, Mark, where at least in baseball, if you turn 31 to 32, you're kind of hitting your prime. Now it seems like it's gone back to 29 or 30, which would mean Charlie Blackman's way over the hill. But at age 31, physically, is he where he was 3-4 years ago, or is he gone down?
No, I mean, I think for most football players, and I've heard it explained, I think Howie Long was the first guy I ever heard it talk this way. There's two elevators. There's a down elevator and an up elevator. And so you're at the very top floor. Let's call it 12 floors when you're a rookie from an athleticism standpoint, right? Okay. And you're at the very bottom floor, floor one, as a rookie, from a knowledge standpoint. And at some point, if you push the button at the same time down on one and up on the other, right? At some point at floor six, you're going to hit your prime.
Okay.
Where you're at, you know, you're at your athletic ability has dropped some, but it's still, you know, it's still really good, but your knowledge of the game has risen to a level where you're hit. Like that's when you're at your ultimate best. Mm. And then it continues to drop as you continue to go through. If it's 12 years, you know, you get to the year 12, your knowledge of the game is what's keeping you on a football team. But your athleticism, because of injuries and all those things, has, you know, greatly diminished. And so somewhere in the middle there, like year six is probably your prime. So if you come in at, you know, at 22 years old, you're 28 is your kind of prime. 27, 28, 29 is kind of the prime. Now, I think guys have extended the prime to some degree, Jerry, because of the way guys take care of their bodies. They have, you know, the money is totally different. So they have the ability to spend. Now, it's James Harrison, who I work with at Fox. James Harrison is like, what an unbelievable talent the guy is. Frightening. He's just frightening. And he still lifts and trains like he's a beast, is an absolute beast. But that guy spent $600,000 a year just taking care of his body.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to keep him in the league for that many years. So guys, you know, have personal chefs that, you know, are dietitians that take care of them. They give them the proper nutrients and all that stuff. They have personal masseuses. They have their own cryovac machine. I mean, these guys do a great job of taking care of themselves. That's what they have done. So they've extended their careers to a degree. That said, you know, Von Miller is still an outstanding football player. I mean, outstanding. The end of last season, he didn't play very well. Now, he hurt his knee. I can't remember, maybe week 12 or so. I think he missed a game. And he didn't play as well last year as he has in past years. Does that mean that he can't still find kind of that quote unquote fountain of youth? No, I mean, he can still play. There's no question about that. But it's just harder. You know, it's harder to recover. It's harder when you do tweak something to get back, you know, all those different things. This year should be, you know, a benefit that, They've got Jarrell Casey, who's a great run defender. Bradley Chubb comes back on the opposite side of Vaughn. That should take some pressure off of Vaughn. So I think there's some good things that are in Vaughn's corner. And the fact that Vaughn knows he didn't play very well. I mean, DeMarcus Ware, his great mentor even came out and said Vaughn didn't play very well. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but said Vaughn, you know, knows that he didn't play as well as he could or whatever. So, yeah, but I'm with you, Jerry. I think this is a pivotal year for Vaughn Miller. I think this is a year that if you're not, you know, a double-digit sack guy, that this will be your last year here in Denver, that you're probably going to be, you know, either asked to take a significant pay cut or they're going to say, hasta la vista, and you're going to have to go find another job somewhere. And he'll find one. I mean, there's no question about his talent.
Yeah. Could he find a job now? I mean, and I bring this up because I've heard it talked about a lot, and the question becomes, all right, if he's on the downside of his career physically at age 31, which is, I think, the consensus, when you get past 30, like you said, 29, late 20s, 30, you might be on the downside physically of your career. Your knowledge of the game, your experience, you can use that to help your game increases, but the physical attributes probably decrease a little bit. Would it be wise if the Broncos are trying to rebuild to trade him now while he's got value? Because like you said, other teams look at him and go, Matt's a tremendous defensive player yet. Does that make any sense for the Broncos?
Again, that would depend upon what you need and what you're going to get in return. So,
always does, yeah.
Right. My thought is this. Like, there was a time that would have made more sense, even going back to last season, because you look at what Khalil Mack got before the 2018 season, or what the Raiders got to rebuild their football team from the Khalil Mack deal. They got a couple of first rounders. You're not getting a couple of first rounders for Vaughn Miller. Could you still get a first rounder for Vaughn Miller? I would question whether you could or not, based upon how he finished last year and his age. Do I think he's worth a first rounder? Absolutely, because the guy is, I think he's still a phenomenal player. And I don't covet first rounders like a lot of people in this business do. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of franchises. And there's several reasons you covet first rounders. One, because they're first round draft choices, right? So they're supposed to be, they're supposed to, you know, lift your franchise up. Two, and probably more importantly, salary, like they're a fixed salary, so to speak. You know, they're a very low cost for a number of years, relatively speaking. So you've got salary certainty when you get those guys, because, you know, ultimately you got that guy under control, your control for 5 years at a very reasonable rate, even a first rounder. So there's, you know, being able to fix costs and understand what you've got there. So like that's a value to teams. You know, and they always talk about when a team gets a young quarterback that performs, how valuable that guy is, you know, how you can spend your money elsewhere to get that guy weapons, to give that guy an opportunity, and you don't have to pay that guy for 3 or 4 years. That's big for your franchise. So that's a really big part of being a first rounder. But hell, look at the Broncos in general and the lack of production from the first round that we have had in this franchise. And John Elway's, 11 seasons as general manager? He's had one guy, and it's Vaughn Miller, that's gotten a second contract as a first rounder. Mm. That's abysmal. Mm. I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to get that, you know, that salary certainty, and you're trying to build your team. If you got a bunch of first rounders, you should be littered, you know, with those guys should be all over your roster still. And some of them should be stars. And, you know, the fact that most of them, you know, haven't hit it, or other than Vaughn, none of them have gotten a second contract out of this franchise. That's a failure from a draft standpoint.
So if the prime physically in NFL is around 28, 29, pushing on 30, is that unique to the NFL? Let's answer that question next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltar Har Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltar Har's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltar Har's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltar Har Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Jerry Schimmel sitting in this week for Mike Evans along with Mark Schlereth, and we remind you that Mile High Memories presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air, Episode 11. We'll take a look back at the career of Terrell Davis. It drops this weekend. Episode 10 available now. Sandy's Top 10 Trades in Denver Sports History. Get it wherever you download your podcasts or at the website 1043thefan.com. Mark, we're talking about Von Miller and that idea in football anyway, where you get to your late 20s, hit 30 maybe, and Vaughn is 31, where you maybe get past your physical prime. The question I threw out there, is that something unique to football? Because I look at sports like basketball and baseball, and I just don't see, at least there are examples of it kind of being thrown to the wind a little bit. I look at a guy like Karl Malone, who I watched forever in his career, one of the great players in NBA history. At the age of, let's see, I'm looking at his numbers here, his 13th season, so he came in the league at 21, so he's 34 years of age. He's 34, Mark, and had one of his best seasons ever. 34 years of age, 27 points, 10.5 rebounds a game. Look at a guy in baseball like Albert Pujols, who is now 40, and he's clearly on the downside of his career. But you look at his numbers, and in 2017, as recent as 3 years ago, he drove in 101 runs, and he was 36 years old at that point, where he had 101 RBIs a year before, 119, one, two of his better seasons. You look at those two guys way past that age of 29 or 30 in different sports. Is it different in football? Do you age quicker physically in football than you do in others?
Well, I think there's a certain dog years to playing in the NFL that's different. When you start to look at baseball, you play games every day, and there's any time, you know, you get repetitive use injuries anytime that you're an athlete. So that's going to happen. But the physical wear and tear, when you're practicing in pads and you're practicing with a helmet on and you're hitting each other, even when you don't have pads, like there is contact. And that tends to wear you out. You get into the season NBA-wise or baseball-wise, you take BP and stuff, it's just a different level of intensity at the practice, you know, from a practice standpoint, when you're playing two games a week and all that stuff. So I think there's a little bit more physical wear and tear, obviously, on an NFL player than there is a basketball player or a baseball player. But I still think for the most part, you know, most guys start to break down. Maybe you can hold off Father Time a little bit longer in those other sports, because there's not as much physicality to those.
Sure.
Well, I mean, look at what LeBron James is doing right now. He's got to be mid-30s, 36, 37, right?
He's 36, I think.
Yeah, and he is still just phenomenal,
yep,
and has been forever. So, you know, I think there's something to that, but I still think that Father Time gets us all, and I think for all athletes, when you hit into the 30s, if you're not taking care of yourself, both externally and internally, you know, it's gonna catch up to you. It's gonna catch up to you sooner than later. But I think there's a little bit more of an ability to extend your kind of greatness, quote unquote, in those other sports. And then we've seen it with the quarterback position, right?
Right.
Because, and I think a lot of that is because, you know, look at what John Elway played. You know, John Elway scrambled around. John Elway took a beating.
Sure.
Especially early in his career, he took a beating. And it was okay back then. I think about some of the hits that like guys like Bradshaw took, and you know, the hits that were allowed on the quarterback back then aren't allowed today. And what do we see is we see more longevity from the quarterback position. You know, Tom Brady's going to start his 20th season. He's 43 years old.
Drew Brees
is in his 40s.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger's in his late 30s, as is Philip Rivers. And, you know, and there's a lot of guys that are playing deep into their careers. Aaron Rodgers is 35 years old, for crying out loud. So, you know, these guys are still kind of quote unquote prime time players at their position, even though they're that old.
So it does depend on the position. I mean, you think about there's no way a Von Miller plays until he's 42 like Tom Brady.
No.
It just takes too much of a beating on your body. Yeah, and think about the other sports, like baseball. I think Albert Pujols, probably Mark, would be a good example of that. The position he plays is first base. He doesn't have to run around the outfield. He never has relied on speed for his game.
Right.
He's always been that great hitter and a solid defensive player, which he still is, by the way. But a guy like, I watch a guy like Charlie Blackmon. I think he's 33 or 34 now. Charlie's slowing down a little bit. He doesn't steal bases like he used to. Doesn't cover ground in the outfield like he used to. But you put him at first base, he's probably going to be okay if you don't rely on speed like
right.
Pujols has done. What you see in baseball is you wait for that guy like Pujols or Big Poppy or somebody for that bat speed to slow down. That's the big indication there.
Right.
It's not foot speed. It's not physicality. Right. It is. He still got that bad speed or not?
Right. You know, Albert, when you watch Albert play, like Albert will hit one in the gap, and it literally, he's trying to get to second base. It looks like he's towing a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is so painful to watch him run. But you're 100% right. Can you still generate bat speed? The same thing with a pitcher. You know, a pitcher's arm speed.
Yeah, sure.
Like when you watch arm speed of a pitcher, it's like those guys are amazing. And the guys that just have that unbelievably quick arm with great arm speed that generate great velocity and look like they do it effortlessly, like those guys can continue to throw with great velocity over long periods of time, deep into their 30s, if you will, because of that natural ability and that gift and can maintain health where most guys can't.
Yeah. Was it James Harrison you said that spent $600,000 a year?
Yeah.
You know what? You should have told him I could have done for $550. I would have got him in shape for $550.
Right.
Maybe $525.
$550. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'll tell him what to do for $550. All right. Four down territory coming up next.
I want Mason Glory Hole.
This is four down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
You got to make decisions with the facts that you have. People who project where we're going to be, 2 weeks from now, much less 3 months from now, it's speculative still. We don't know. And I think, I don't like to engage in the speculation business. I like to deal with facts.
NFL and the NFL Players Association skips to talking again today after yesterday's call failed to resolve some of the major outstanding issues regarding reopening protocols with NFL camps. And isn't it the consensus, Mark, that the protocols have to be fluid? I mean, everybody's got to be open-minded, flexible, be ready for a change at any moment. Don't we have to look at it that way?
Well, I mean, that's exactly the way we're looking at as a country, I think. It's fluid right now, and we've had this spike of cases and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, I agree with the commissioner. This is one of those processes that we're just going to kind of have to take it as it comes our way and kind of deal with the ebb and flow of this. We need to be as safe as we possibly can.
Yeah.
There are some inherent risks in moving forward, but we'll be as safe as we can. And I think honestly you're getting tested every day, you're doing whatever the protocols are, you're probably safer, in that quote unquote bubble, in that atmosphere than you are any other place. Yep. So, I'm okay with it.
We are in an uncharted territory here. Four down territory, next.
Second down.
So in an effort to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, NFL helmets may have a very different look this year. Take a look at this. This is the demo model that features the Ravens colors and scheme. The new helmets will come with a mouth shield that was designed with the help of doctors and engineers. This intended to cut out transmission of droplets. Oakley will send the guards to all of the teams.
And they're going to check them out in training camp. We'll see anyway, but we have taken a look at those face guards on the internet this morning, and they don't look real fancy. They don't look anything, you know, terribly innovative, although they have holes where you can breathe through a little bit. I guess that's somewhat innovative.
I don't, like, the mask is 4 inches or 3 inches or 2 inches away from your face anyhow, so what, I don't know why you would need holes in the face guard if you're trying to stop droplets.
Breathe better.
You'll be fine. You know, put them on. It's like a mask. Put it on. Go to the grocery store. You'll be fine. Put it on. Play 3 hours of football. You'll be fine.
There we go. Next on Four Down Territory.
Third down. What is the message to Tyreek Hill now, 2 days later and after all this video has blown up? What's your message to him?
I will see him again. I wanted to say that to him at the camp, but I didn't get a chance to. I will see him again.
You missed that. A 10th grader at a football camp had a sensational catch over Tyreek Hill. And as he should, he's bragging about just a little bit. That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, incredible athleticism, incredible move, incredible catch as he just kind of Randy Mossed Tyreek Hill. I will say this. I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill is not a DB. So the two play the same position. But it was phenomenal, and I don't know what's going to happen to this 10th grader. You know, there's a lot of time between now and your potential debut in the National Football League, but really cool moment, really cool video, and he certainly has bragging rights in his high school hallways right now.
No question. Next up on Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Obviously, we've had a great start to my career. I've been blessed to be in a great organization, have a great team around me, which has made the transition easier for me. But now it's about stacking those years. It's about trying to find ways to get back to the Super Bowl, win those Super Bowl championships. And I think if I go out there every single year and I put my best effort forward, when I get to the end of my career, I'll be happy with where I'm at.
That's Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Chiefs. And, Mark, not only does he seem to do all the right things on the football field, he seems to say all the right things off of it too, doesn't he?
He really does. And, you know, I mean, his father pitched for 11 seasons in Major League Baseball, so he's grown up in that environment. He really understands what's required of him. But I think he embraces it. It's not one of those things that I think he looks at like, oh gosh, I've got to do this. I think it's just who he is. Like, he is a, you know, I think he's a thoughtful young man. I think he understands his responsibilities and his responsibility to not only the organization, but the community. And he takes it seriously, which is a really cool, admirable thing.
Yeah. Did you ever have a chance to meet LaTroy Hawkins, the baseball player, the pitcher?
No, I did not.
He played for the Rockies for a brief time.
And I remember.
Mainly with the Twins. He's doing broadcasting up there as well. And he's one of the great guys you'll ever meet. I mean, he is salt of the earth, oozing with integrity. Anyway, he is the godfather to Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And the story goes last week that the three of them, Patrick Mahomes, his dad, and LaTroy Hawkins, sat down and talked about the contract. And they told the media about this. They'd sat down about a week before the contract was announced and before he signed it. And he said, we had this discussion. And in that discussion, he said, we sat for about an hour, that the idea of money never came up. It never came up. It was questions from my dad, questions from my godfather were, are you comfortable with the organization? Do you really like Andy Reid? What are the owners like? Do you like Kansas City? Are you comfortable there? There was no discussion in 1 hour with those three people about money.
Right.
And knowing Hawk, knowing LaTroy Hawkins, like, I don't know him real well, but we communicate a little bit. And like I said, a great guy. I can hear Hawk saying this. This is Hawk saying, hey, Patrick, dude, you're either going to be rich or you're going to be richer. So don't worry about the money right now. Let's worry about the other things that go along with that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That those three sit down for an hour and not a word about money. Says something about that family, doesn't it?
Not only that family, yeah, absolutely. But you really know, like you said, hey, you're gonna be set for life. Your generations of your family are going to be set for life. So let's not worry about that. Let's worry about the things that are truly important, right? Your ability to win, your how comfortable you are with the franchise, the ownership, the people that you're associated with. I think it's a really cool aspect of that kind of counsel and leadership that he gets. And You know, it does. It makes a difference. You can see the way he you know, carries himself, the just the way he is in the community, the way he has been as a quarterback there. I think all those things, you know, point to the fact, and it does go to point, or it does go to show you the importance of having, you know, having a nuclear family and having people that you can rely on and having and having wise counsel, you know. And those things are important. You know, I go back, you remember, and not to hash all this up, but one of the things that resonated, if you read the police reports when Michael Vick got convicted of the dogfighting thing, and you talk about Hawk and that relationship, and you talk about Mahomes and his father and that relationship that they have. I remember reading a police report, and the one thing that resonated with me was Michael Vick's dad said, I told him not to put that house in his name.
Really?
Like, not, I told him not to dogfight. I told him not to put that house in. And I just thought to myself, you know what? If that's the counsel you're getting, you know, from the people that you're surrounded with,
yeah,
that it just is, like, there's such a difference there, right? And Michael and I are friends. And
are you?
Really respect how he's cleaned up his life and done these things. But again, like, if that's the kind of advice you're getting, it, you know, it's hard to come out on top.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Thinking about Patrick Mahomes and the Chicago Bears. Now, Mahomes, what, 10th pick?
I think 10th overall, yeah.
10th overall pick, and I think the Chiefs traded up to get him. But how are you feeling right now if you're the Bears? You take Mitchell Trubisky at number 2.
Yeah, you traded up, by the way, to get him at number 2.
Why?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
You cannot be feeling good if you're a Chicago Bears fan about that right now. Now, teams miss on draft picks all the time. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that one's glaring, isn't it?
It is. And you know, I mean,
they could have taken Watson too.
Yeah, he was 12.
Was he 12? Yeah.
12 overall. Yeah. It is, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations, you know, you just never know how a guy is going to react when he gets to that level.
That's true.
Like what he is, like how he is going to handle that pressure. And I've done several Bears games, so I've met with Mitch Trubisky on several different occasions. He's a great young man.
Yeah, that's what I hear too.
Like
his fault.
No, he wants to be good. It's not, you know, I mean, I will tell you, you know, everybody wants to bash players and oh my gosh, this guy stinks and that guy stinks. And, you know, and I think we all fall victim to that a time or two, you know, because, it's low hanging fruit and you're a fan and you get frustrated too with the process, but it's hard. You know, playing professional sports is really hard. And I think we tend to see the money some guys get paid and are like, you want them to have instant maturity or instant success, or, you know, you want them to, you know, to be great. And you never know. You just don't know. The other thing that's interesting to me is like, the place that you get drafted to and what a difference it makes when you get drafted and you're Patrick Mahomes and they move up to get you from 24 to 10 overall, and then they have the wherewithal and the ability, because they've got a, you know, gifted quarterback, to let you sit for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And let you learn the NFL game without that pressure of coming right out and going, you got to be the man, go. And like there is, that used to be there used to be a process to playing in the NFL, is that you got drafted, you sat around for a year or two, and then you got an opportunity to play. And, you know, there are very few rookies that got to play, especially the quarterback position. You even go back to Carson Palmer, drafted first overall to the Cincinnati Bengals. John Kitna played his first year he sat. John Kitna was the quarterback. Like that's the way it was. And now it's this, you know, it's, you got to go out and perform right now. And if you're, you know, if you're not successful right off the bat or you make some mistakes, we just kick you to the curb and go to get the next guy. Look at the Arizona. I mean, Josh Rosen got to start a handful of games. They traded him and got Kyler Murray. Now, Kyler Murray's been great for them, but you understand, like, it's not as easy as we like to make it out to be sometimes.
It is Legends Week this week on The Fan. We'll have one coming up. Adam Foote joins us next. Welcome back, folks. Jerry Schimmel sitting in for Mike Evans this morning along with Mark Schlereth. And it is Legends Week, and we're going to try to hook up with Avalanche defenseman, the legend Adam Foote. We'll try to do that momentarily here, try to get Adam on the line. But what a great, wonderful career he had, not only with the Avalanche, but in his NHL career. He won two Stanley Cups, of course, with the Avalanche. He won an Olympic gold medal. There's a guy that has to feel pretty good about his hockey career. You a hockey guy at all?
I grew up in Alaska, so hockey was the, like, I didn't play.
You never played?
No, I'm not one to slap on the blades, so to speak.
What would happen if you did put the blades on, skates on? Would you stand up?
Yeah. Okay. I could skate around a little. I mean, it wouldn't be pretty, but, you know, I would stay off my tuchus, unless we started going really fast, or if I had to skate backwards.
You can't do that?
No, I cannot. I cannot do that. Yeah, that would be a struggle for me, but I grew up watching a lot of hockey. And especially in high school, because it was honestly kind of a bigger sport than, well, not kind of, it's a bigger sport than football. So, going to high school hockey games was a blast, cheering for your high school and going to all those games. We went to all the games. We loved it. And we always had really good hockey teams. So
you were a good athlete and they didn't recruit you to play hockey?
No,
you have to kind of grow up playing hockey, don't
you? Well, yeah, I think you have to grow up playing hockey. And two, my football coaches made me wrestle.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So as soon as football season was over, I was a really good basketball player. Basketball and wrestling were at the same time. So they demanded that I wrestle because they just, and you know what? They were right. It was by far the toughest sport I ever was involved in, but it made me so much better a football player, understanding leverage from an overall toughness standpoint. Mm. It's such a hard sport. Mm.
Speaking of wrestling, last week, I filled in on the night show with Nick Ferguson. We had on, because Nick was just really intrigued by this guy, as you should be, a guy named Anthony Robles.
Mm-hmm.
That name sounds familiar?
Yeah, absolutely.
NCAA wrestler?
I spent some time on a bus with Anthony.
You did?
Yeah. And he's a phenomenal kid. But yeah. Spent some time on a bus with him at the ESPYs, traveling around and got to talk with him. I can't remember what the award was, like one of the top awards, you know, just
you got that ESPN award.
Yeah, Perseverance, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's the Arthur Ashe Award is what it is.
I think you're right. I think you got that.
Anyhow, so I got the chance to sit and talk with Anthony, and he's a phenomenal young man. Phenomenal.
So if you don't know the story, he's born with one leg, literally. I mean, he has one leg. It's not like he's got a stub or he's got, you know, below the knee taken. Mm-hmm. He was born with one leg. There's nothing there. And he won an NCAA wrestling championship, Division I at Arizona State with one leg.
Yeah.
You put those two things together, you go, he did what?
Right.
You got to be kidding me. Anyway, I interviewed him for Amazing Americans about a year ago, and I told Nick Ferguson about him. I said, you got to be kidding me. This guy did what? He said, you got to get him on the show. So we had him on the show the other night, and Nick was so blown away that he could hardly ask questions, as anybody should be.
Right.
But he said the same thing. He said, because he played football. That's what made me think of this.
Yeah.
He was a defensive lineman, believe it or not.
Yeah, I remember.
So he'd hop around you know, and he says.
And he made plays.
Yeah, he did. That's what he said. And that's what he said. His coaches wanted to keep playing football, but he moved over to to wrestling. And he said a lot of his teammates were the same way, that they were football players, but the coaches wanted them to wrestle because they thought they could be better football players if they wrestled. He's like, you know, I gave up football after eighth grade, but I started wrestling, got very serious about it. But he said it really did help his teammates become better football players.
Sure.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at just NFL players in general and the amount of like all-star NFL players that were high school wrestlers.
Really?
And it's amazing. Huh. I mean, it's amazing, especially in the trenches.
Yeah.
A lot of the big guys were high school wrestlers. But, you know, Roddy White? Remember the receiver, Roddy White from the Atlanta Falcons? Yeah. He was a state champion wrestler.
Was he really? I didn't know. Great player.
Yeah, Ray Lewis was a state champion wrestler.
Wow.
Like, I mean, the National Football League is littered with guys. And I know a lot of college teams that don't want to do anything but recruit. You go to the top of the list if you're a two-sport athlete and the two sports are football and wrestling. Wrestling is like far and away, and it's not close, the toughest sport I ever participated in. Yeah. And it just, from a body leverage standpoint, from a mental capacity standpoint, from just a overall body strength standpoint, whatever you lose from a weight, people, like, a lot of high school coaches are like, no, I want you in the weight room and I want you to get bigger. That doesn't help you.
All right.
Like getting on the wrestling mat and going one-on-one in a wrestling, that is the best work you can do to make yourself a better defensive lineman, linebacker, offensive lineman. There is no question in my mind. It just makes you a better football player.
I love the sport. I didn't wrestle in school. Middle school, I did a little bit, and it never was great. But my best friend in high school was our state champion, the first ever from our high school. But I became really intrigued with the sport, Mark, when I did on TV the Big Ten Wrestling Championship back in the probably early to mid-90s, I guess. But it was when Dan Gable was coaching at Iowa and had that run. And, you know, I interviewed him, and I spent a couple of days in Iowa City and all that kind of stuff. Really got intrigued by the sport then. And I knew about the sport, but just the inside, the insides of it, losing weight, cutting weight, and all the work they go, like you said, it's a really difficult sport. And I just had so much respect for these athletes that go through that and become champions on the NCAA level. So I kind of filed all that back in my mind. Then I talked to Anthony Robles, who wins this championship, beat a wrestler from Iowa in the championship round, doing it with one leg. Just absolutely blew me away.
Yeah.
And by the way, you should look this up. If you want to Google Anthony Robles, you'll see two things on you. You look at him on YouTube. Number one, when he wrestles, he's got one leg, so he drops his crutches, hops onto the mat. As soon as the match starts, he drops down to his one knee and wrestles from a knee. And you cannot believe, Mark, if you haven't seen it, how quick he is to shoot and take someone down from his knee. Not from his feet, not from 2 feet, but from one knee.
Yes.
Okay, that's number one. Secondly, check out the video of him setting the world record for most pull-ups in a minute. He did it at halftime on the concourse at a New York Jets game a couple years ago. It was 60, and I think he got 62.
Yeah, he is.
It's phenomenal.
His upper body strength is unbelievable. The kid is a phenomenal, just a phenomenal story, a phenomenal athlete. So much, just so much fun. And just the shape that you have to be in to get on a mat. You know, one of the things about wrestling that always intrigued me is the competition that exists. It's the one-on-one aspect of competition, right? There's you and another guy on the mat, and that's it. But the other thing is, like, we used to do these three and a half hour practices where you're running and then you're wrestling, and we'd have – my high school was a huge wrestling school, so we'd have 150 kids that came out for the wrestling.
Really?
Team. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We were a huge wrestling school, and we were, we were state champions pretty much every year. And we would have these guys that would come out, like, you couldn't do it in today's world, but we had collegiate athletes that were retired, like college wrestlers, that would leave work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon during wrestling season and come and just beat the snot out of us kids.
Man.
And so I was always, you'd always be wrestling some 30-year-old guy, you it would be in your wrestling room going, let's roll.
Yeah.
And so you physically matured and mentally matured because you're going against full grown men and you're 17 years old, right?
Yeah.
The other thing we would do is we did these drills. We called them champ and chump drills.
Champ and chump.
Yeah. So if you had a champ takedown, you would have your weight class and we had 150 guys. So you might have 13 guys in your weight class and champ stays out in takedowns. Ooh. And so the line goes through and
no matter what weight you're in.
And there's just this sense of pride of how long can I stay out here without getting taken down? And so, and then we would do the same thing, the chump drill. And you'd have some kid that, had no chance. And we'd be out there for 20 minutes just thumping on this kid. Just trying to, you know, you're trying to toughen him up and teach him how to wrestle. And we'd just be taking shots, you know, and so it was just a, there was just such a, like I said, there was such a mental toughness aspect to it. Then every week we had wrestle offs. So if the guy who's the JV guy and you and the JV guy were really close and you wrestled 155, we'd have a wrestle off and the whole squad would be there, you know, on a Thursday watching the wrestle off to see who gets to wrestle varsity on Friday night. You know, I mean, it was intense.
Wow.
It was our high school wrestling team was, it was something. Yeah.
I got a couple of texts on our RamosLaw.com text line, which by the way is 303-713-1043. Stephen Neal of the Patriots beat Brock Lesnar in 1999 for the NCAA heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Derek Wolfe was also a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Derek Wolfe's dad still, I saw Derek Wolfe's dad. In the same hotel when we were covering the Super Bowl for the Broncos and Carolina Panthers out there in San Francisco. And so I was working out in the weight room and Derek Wolfe's, you know, his adopted father who took him in, is down there. He got the mats out and he's like a wrestling coach.
Is he?
Oh yeah, he's rolling, doing, you know, sit outs and everything else at the Super. Like, I'm like, yes. And, you know, we got to, and talking about wrestling and all that. But yeah, Derek Wolfe was a wrestler. There are all kinds of guys that wrestle, you know, that were state champion level wrestlers or collegiate level wrestlers that played the National Football League.
That's incredible. Yeah. Look up the story. Just Google Anthony Robles. You'll be blown away by that. And I'm trying to get him back on for Amazing Americans as well. He, was going to make a movie. And it got postponed because of COVID. They were going to start shooting in April. And we talked to him tonight. He said, yeah, we're going to delay it. Hopefully September, October. His agent told me some of the actors are going to be in this movie.
Uh-huh.
You'll recognize some names. He said, don't tell anybody who they are, but this is going to be a big time movie about Anthony Robles. And he's going to be obviously in the movie,
right,
doing the wrestling scenes, but someone else is going to play him.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating.
That'll be a great movie. And he's just got an unreal story. So yeah. Really cool.
Broken home and all that.
Yeah.
It is a great story.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.